In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, as we read the Gospels, we cannot help but be impressed with the miracles worked by Jesus during the period of his public life. There are enough of them that they cannot be dismissed as mere luck or chance. That many sick people could not have had psychosomatic illnesses, and some of them were already dead. Lazarus for 4 days. And some of the miracles, like the one we read about today, are on too grand a scale for us to even consider the possibility that they were no more than the parlor tricks of a stage magician. Turning 7 loaves of bread into 7 baskets of leftovers would have been pretty impressive, even if the 4,000 people had nothing at all to eat. Usually, commentators on the scriptures tell us that Jesus worked miracles partially out of his compassion for the suffering people whom he encountered, but primarily as a demonstration of his divine authority. We read, for example, that in changing water into wine at Cana, he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. That means it is not when he called them to follow him that they believed, but when he changed the water into wine. We read also that after he calmed the sea while in a boat caught in a storm, even his disciples were moved to consider, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him. Given the state of technology and the healing arts in Jesus' times, his miracles were sure proof of his divine authority. Sometimes the magnitudes of these miracles makes us express a sort of disappointment and maybe even a feeling of unfairness that we have been left out. What a shame it is, Samuel says, that Jesus is not here with us today to heal the sick, to raise the dead and feed the hungry. What a shame it is that we cannot see his great power for ourselves, but must rely on the testimony of other men, long dead. Oh, to be sure, we still hear of major miracles being worked occasionally through the intercession of the saints. But such miracles are relatively rare. Most of us have never personally witnessed one and still must rely on the testimony of others. Some are well substantiated, well documented, like the medical miracles that take place now and again at Lourdes, but some are less compelling, being more subject to personal opinion and interpretation. But to lament over the fact that such major miracles are relatively rare in our times is to miss a very important point. The fact that is that most of our existence is a miracle. The fact that the priest can transform bread and wine into his body and blood, or consider the most miracle of life itself. And we are blessed here at St. Patrick's to have so many beautiful mothers, you know, who come here and remind us always this beautiful miracle of life itself. By the way, the contemplation, you know, of this miracle of life should improve charity in many of you who can easily be bored by the noise of these little ones. So next time you are upset because babies are crying, try to make your spirit up and think of this beautiful miracle of life. Consider the intellect that is somehow stored in the hands of people, so that each year we become more and more capable of healing our sick and feeding our hungry. To be sure, all of these things take human effort and activity, but all of them point beyond humankind to His Creator. It was God who made the dirt and designed the wheat. God who creates a rational soul in cooperation with human procreation. So, please, let us not say that our age has been cheated of its share of miracles. Consider also that the miracles are spiritual as well. Consider that in spite of our physical mortality and the human ability to reject the supernatural gifts that would raise us above the natural level of that mortality, God always and everywhere extends His grace to make us His adopted sons and daughters, so that we may know, love, and serve Him in this world in order to be happy with Him in the next. Look at today's episode. He reaches out with the gift of faith so that we can be baptized and united in the resurrection of His Son, that we may be sanctified in His grace, literally becoming His temples on earth. When we fall from that grace, He picks us up and restores His graces through the sacrament of penance. He nourishes His grace within us, not with 7 loaves, but with 7 sacraments, the chief of which, Holy Communion, physically unites us to His infinite being. What could be more miraculous than human flesh made in time out of the mud of the earth, being joined for eternity with God? Dear Faithful, this is absolutely so good to be Catholic. We have absolutely no reason to feel cheated or distanced from the miracles of our God. But let me close with a reminder that in these continuous minor miracles that God works in our lives, He has delegated a great share of His power and authority to us mortals. He has given us the power, so it is our responsibility to do our duties. We cannot perpetually delegate our duties. This is our responsibility to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, and clothe the naked, and so forth. It is our responsibility to bring forth our children in love and teach them to know God. So, dear parents, you cannot delegate this task to your school or even to your church. You are first educators. This is your responsibility. It is our responsibility to hand on the Mass and the sacraments, the doctrine and the morality that has been given to us by God Himself, man. It is awesome indeed to recognize that God has given us dominion over His creation. Dominion ultimately even over His miracles. We have become partakers of His divinity, who humbled Himself to become partaker of our humanity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.